Hi, it's Randy Morrison, Associate Editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with Steve Perlman, a partner in Proskauer's Labor and Employment Department and co-head of the firm's Whistleblowing and Retaliation Group. In this podcast, Steve will address whistleblower protections in the context of the recent groundbreaking Supreme Court decision, Lawson versus FMR, and the implications for both public and private companies. Steve, thank you for taking the time to share your seasoned views on this key topic. Can you describe for us the majority's ruling in Lawson and the reasoning it used to reach that result?
Thanks very much, Randy. This is a case of great significance because the Supreme Court of the United States adjudicated the first whistleblower retaliation case under Section 806 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002 and ruled that employees of private company contractors to publicly traded companies are covered by the whistleblower protection provisions in Section 806 of Sarbanes-Oxley. This is a ruling that came as quite a surprise to at least the defense bar, but some members of the plaintiff's bar, because the language in Section 806 of Sarbanes-Oxley says on its face that the statute applies to employees of publicly traded companies. The reasoning behind the decision is largely driven by what happened, according to the congressional record, in Enron. According to the congressional record that the Supreme Court cited, there were employees of certain contractors to Enron, such as employees of Arthur Andersen, who claimed that they were aware of certain misconduct and shenanigans that occurred at Enron, and they had a great line of sight to the alleged misconduct, that they stood up and spoke up and were silenced and believed that they were retaliated against. So the Supreme Court reasoned in large part that Sarbanes-Oxley exists in part to protect investors, shareholders, and employees of companies alike, and in doing so, needs to make sure that folks at companies like Arthur Andersen had an opportunity to speak up without any sort of fear of retaliation.
Okay. Are there any particular risks for employers that this ruling creates?
I think that there's a number of risks that this ruling creates. It's quite a sea change because now, as the dissent, Justice Sotomayor, pointed out in very stark, emphatic terms, mom and pop shops could be covered by this ruling. Really, there's a very serious question of who is a contractor for purposes of this ruling. What if you have a small mom-and-pop contractor to a publicly traded company that sells them any type of small widget? Is that company covered? What if the company only provided services on one or two occasions? And what if the services that are provided have nothing really to do with the nature of the complaint that the claimant alleging retaliation brings? In other words, let's say that the contractor is providing accounting services to the publicly traded company, but the employee of the contractor is claiming that they were retaliated against for complaining of some sort of fraud at the contractor that had nothing to do with the work that the contractor was performing for the company. We now have a question as to whether or not that's covered. Some would argue that the ruling from the Supreme Court is so broad and sweeping that it is indeed covered.
Wow. Okay, what types of new claims should we expect to see as a result of this ruling?
Well, this is a very expansive, wide-reaching ruling because, again, contractors to publicly traded companies, their employees now have a new cause of action. So we can certainly expect to see the type of claim that the Supreme Court was contemplating with respect to the Enron and Arthur Andersen situation I was mentioning a moment ago. In other words, you could expect to see a claim that somebody at an accounting company alleges that they raised concerns that the, for example, the CFO line at the publicly traded company to which their company contracts was cooking the books, for example, or making misrepresentations through incorrect accounting in order to inflate their numbers. Mm-hmm. So if the accountant speaks up and is silenced and is retaliated against by somebody at the contractor who may say, look, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to upset my client, the publicly traded company. Let's just be quiet about this and let's give them a pass. That's the type of claim you could see. Mm-hmm. But it's more expansive than that, because any type of contractor to a publicly traded company providing any type of professional services that has employees who could raise concerns about what's happening at the publicly traded company, if those employees believe that they are retaliated against, they may very well pursue claims under Lawson. I don't think that this is just a theoretical possibility. I think this is going to be a reality. I think that we're going to see claims percolate over the next couple of years, and they're going to be highly impactful. So when we talk about the types of risks that we're dealing with here, imagine a situation where you have a professional services company that's contracting with the publicly traded company, and you have a disgruntled or opportunistic plaintiff, or even one that believes in good faith that the publicly traded company is doing something wrong. They may very well attempt to bring to the public's attention information that they were given in confidence and try to use that as the basis of their claim, and you have a risk that they may try to leverage the fact that they were entrusted with confidential information to get themselves a better deal, a better settlement, or a more impactful claim by putting confidential information on the public record. That is a very real risk to companies.
Okay, how does this ruling affect public companies, and what should they do?
It's a really good question, Randy, because we're now dealing with a green area, and I get this call from clients quite a bit. This is the question that many publicly traded companies and their officers and directors are now asking. Well, what do we do?
Uh-huh.
I think it starts with the publicly traded company being very careful in terms of vetting its contractors because of the very risks that I mentioned a moment ago. So in practical terms, that means that publicly traded companies at the onset should take a look at their contractors and see whether or not their contractors have a compliance program. I think that conscientious publicly traded companies are now going to be looking for contractors that have whistleblower hotlines, that have codes of conduct that encourage folks to speak up without any sort of fear of retaliation, and contractors that demonstrate that they have a culture of accountability and an appropriate tone at the top that's going to ultimately minimize the risk of whistleblower claims or have whistleblower claims resolved in a very constructive and expedient manner.
Thank you, Steve. This is certainly a very significant case for virtually all companies, and this information has been extremely informative. I appreciate your spending the time.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much.